Strategic Christian Services is pleased to present This Pivotal Moment. This teaching is entitled, Voices Crying in the Wilderness by Dutch Sheets.
Okay, I'm going to move quickly and just do a brief review of what we said last night, because the goal and the assignment today is to put all of what I said last night into the context of the church and the kingdom. So let me just review. I said that we are all called with a holy calling. Gave you the word from 2 Timothy 1:9, klesis. We're going to use that word again today because it's a part of the Greek word for church. Same root word. I said your calling is a part of your God-ordained purpose and destiny, which He planned for you in advance. I also said that that becomes your ministry and that all of us have one. I also talked about the fact that that needs to be alongside of others, not just my ministry, but doing it together. Remember the under rower? And the concept was they had to row together in order for G to take place. I then talked about that being a part of, and this is where we stop, just basically introducing it, a part of and representing an unshakable kingdom. The kingdoms of this world are shaking and they will continue to shake, and America is in for some serious shaking as well. We're not going to dodge this one. And so we must remember that we're part of an unshakable kingdom, and we can't be asking God to excuse us from what's coming. We just need to receive grace so we can walk through this demonstrating the power of the kingdom, not as we typically do, representing our own. And we said we're to do this in one of the seven mountains of society. Now, up until this point in time, what the body of Christ has said is that people who do what I do, do everything except my last line about the mountains of society. I'm the one that's called. I'm the one with a God-ordained calling and destiny that is a ministry. You're not. I have a ministry. You have a job. And your job is also to support my ministry. That's what we have said. And it's done immeasurable damage to our cause, this mindset. So I'm the one that does this in the context of the kingdom and the church. You're a part of that kingdom and church on Sundays. That's where we've been. So we've never allowed you to take your calling and your ministry and marry it to the church and do it as a part of the church, because you're called to a position in the church just as I am. That's where we're going today, okay? What is the kingdom of God? I'm going to be very simplistic about this because this could be hours of teaching. And it's not our point and we don't need to. So I'm going to be very simple about this. The kingdom of God is the domain or rule of God. Kingdom comes from two words, king and domain. So the kingdom of God is His rule or His domain, the realm that He rules over. Of course, technically speaking, it's everything. He rules over all. That's what the Scriptures say. The kingdom of God on earth still would technically include everything on earth, but He's chosen to do things differently. At this point in time, His kingdom is realized on earth, is realized and manifested and expressed practically through the hearts and lives of those who follow Him and are submitted to His kingdom. That's pretty simple, isn't it? So His kingdom at this point in time is not forced upon people. And we're not going to force it on people as we extend His kingdom. We're going to do it through changing the hearts and minds of people, which is the way He does it at this point in time. There's coming a time when that will change. But right now, that's the way it works. So it's by choice. That's why we have to offer them, by the way, something better than what they have. When we offer them a phony kingdom of our own or a kingdom that is not really the kingdom of God, they're not interested, and we can't force it on them, so they opt out. When we have an answer better than the one they're trying to implement, they want what we have. Or they get desperate enough, and then they look to us, which is going to happen. That's the kingdom. Very simple, It's as far as I want to go into it today. The church. Let's define the church. This is where we've got a lot of work to do, because the church is not a saved group of people. The church is that and much more. The church in the New Testament comes from Matthew 16. Jesus said, I'll build my church. That's the first mention of the word. The word is ecclesia. And there was only one context for an ecclesia in that day. When he said, I'll build my ecclesia, to the Greeks, it was a legislature. An ecclesia was a ruling body, a governmental body that passed and implemented laws. It was their legislature. The Romans, in that day, the ecclesia was also a government, but it was more than that. In Rome, an ecclesia was a legislating group of people sent into a conquered region to make that region look, think, act, and function like Rome, because they knew the only way to keep these conquered nations from rebelling was to get them assimilated into Roman culture and eventually begin to think like Romans. If they didn't, if they held on to their own, they would rebel and try to go back to their other kingdom culture. So the Romans said, we've got to take these people and assimilate them into our kingdom. And if we can do that, then we'll maintain control. So an ecclesia was a legislating body of people sent into a conquered region to transform it and make it look like the conquering nation or kingdom, okay? Now I challenge you to find a congregation today, and I'll bet you can count them on one hand, that models what it really means to be the ecclesia of God. We have a long way to go. That's why I'm also in complete agreement. He is not coming back this week or this year or this decade. So by its very definition, the church, the ecclesia of God on the earth, is a governing body. It's a government. By its very definition, it is a discipling body. By its very definition, when Jesus pulled it out of the culture and said, I'm going to build mine, by its very definition, it must fulfill Matthew 28, which is to, Jesus said, all authority. We're talking about a kingdom now. Rule, domain, all dominion, exousia, authority, is given to me now, both in heaven and on earth. I have back what Adam gave to Satan. God never lost it for himself. We lost it. He came, got it back, said, I now have all authority in heaven. He already had that. I have it back here. That which was lost, I'm the last Adam. I have it back. Now you go and disciple nations for me. Paraphrase, you go be the ecclesia. And we're not being the ecclesia until we're doing Matthew 28. So we call ourselves the church, but we're not the church, technically. Let me say it this way, we're not being the church. Because you're not functioning as an ecclesia unless you're discipling nations or impacting cultures or legislating. Now it's real important for me to lay this foundation, so I'm not going to be in any hurry, and I don't really care how fast I go or who I offend or anything else, because I'm leaving about 45 minutes, and then if God wants to tear a piece of this country off and it can fall in the ocean, that's fine. I love you, but hey. By its very definition, it is a governing body. By its very definition, it is a discipling body. By its very definition, it is an invading force. Technically speaking, by the definition of an ecclesia, it is an invading force. It is a culture-changing force of the kingdom of God on earth. Taking the principles and culture of his kingdom, authority, the realm that he rules, and bringing it to earth so that his kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven. You with me? Now, It's significant to me, and I'm still defining church and how it relates to kingdom, because you are the church. We'll get to that. You know, you are the church. You know that. We'll get to that. Okay. But I'm still working on marrying all this together, because if I don't do it well enough, you'll leave here and you'll try to do everything I did last night, but you won't do it as the church. You'll do it as a job. And God won't empower you and anoint you to go make money and do a job, but he will anoint you to be a part, fulfill your assignment in his ecclesia to extend his kingdom. Did you get all that?
Yes.
Okay. So it's very significant to me that the same root word for calling is the root word for the ecclesia. Calling is klesis, vocation, job, occupation, a calling in the sense of that. Ek is out. So put it together, ekklesis means called out. So a very simplistic definition, translation of the word ecclesia, and you've probably heard it, or it would be called out ones. Very incomplete. A called people, here's the way I'm going to say it. A called people, 2 Timothy 1:9. All of us have a holy klesis, so we are a called people, called out of what? What are we called out of? The kingdom, the dominion, the domain of darkness, right? But also, we are not called just out, we are called into something. See? So we're called out of the kingdom of darkness and we're called into the kingdom of God. Now what do? We learn that culture. Because he said it, every kingdom has a culture. What's the word you used? Maybe you don't remember.
Systems.
It's every kingdom has its own ideals, principles, culture, laws. So we come out of one, called klesis, into another, and we learn the new culture. Specifically, and this is what's never been taught that I know of, specifically, I need to not only learn the general principles of this new kingdom I'm a part of, I need to learn and understand the principles that apply to my calling in that kingdom. So you need to learn the business principles of the kingdom. If you're in education, you need to learn the education principles of the kingdom. You need to find out what he says about education. What does he say about arts and entertainment? What does he say about media? What does the kingdom of God culture look like for your mountain? Because you're called to that mountain. You're not just called out, you're called into, right? We just said that. So you find out what the kingdom culture is as it applies to your mountain, your assignment, your calling, your ministry. Then as a part of that new kingdom, you are sent back into that other world, Romans, ecclesia. Once you understand the culture of the new one you live in and your assignment and ministry, you are sent back, you're called out, and then you are sent back into that culture to transform it into the new one that you're a part of. That's pretty simple, isn't it? I just ask you very casually, this is very basic. Does the average Christian in America at least think this way? We are sent back into that other kingdom realm in the world, but not of it, to invade and change it till it looks like his kingdom culture in heaven. That's an ecclesia. Now, if you know you're called to do that, and you are, you're called to be the ecclesia out there. If you know that, he will empower you out there with his kingdom authority and power. Now, he's not going to obligate you he's not going to empower and authorize you just to go make money. You may be gifted enough to do that because you apply the right principles, but that doesn't mean you're representing his kingdom out there. But if you're willing to represent his kingdom out there, he's willing to empower you and give you authority and creativity and increase your gifting so that you can really represent his kingdom out there and not just make money. And you don't just make money and bring it to church. Now I'm going to get off on just talking about this in a way that I could get angry, so just bear with me. Because by its definition now, Your congregation, whether you lead one or attend one, is irrelevant. Your congregation is not a church. He said, now you're going to split hairs and talk about, you know, that it doesn't really matter. Yes, it does matter, because if I listen to you talk, I'll know what you believe. And when I know what you believe, I know what you'll do. So now, technically speaking, your congregation is not a church. You can call it that if you want to, but technically, biblically, it's not. It's a part of the church. The church, part of the church, gathers there, but it's not a church. By its definition, you can't have or do church. By its definition, you can't build one, and you can't show me in the Bible, so stop saying it, where God ever told you to build a church or start one. You can't do it. I know I'm messing with you now. See, I'm out of here in a minute. I just don't care. You can't attend one. You can gather as a part of one, a part of thee, but you can't attend one. See, that's a contradiction of terms. See, by definition, the local church is the local ecclesia, the local body of Christ legislating for him. We don't have that yet, but that's what it's supposed to be. Okay? And by definition, there is no such thing as a para church outside of. Where did that insanity come from? So I'm the local and you're the para. Okay? Can't find any of those in Scripture, but that's okay. And your building certainly isn't one. Now, why does that matter? Because most of you are going to get up and go to church Sunday morning, and then you're going to get up and go to work Monday morning. Instead of getting up Sunday morning and congregating as the church and then going and being the church Monday morning. How many of you get up on a Monday and say to your wife or your spouse, well, I'm going to church, or I'm going to be the church? We think we can keep speaking, talking, functioning a certain way, and it won't affect our paradigm. We can stay in this vein of thinking and speaking and really change. We can't do it. We can't do it. As long as you keep going to church, you'll never be the church. You won't. And if the church is something we do or have once a week, we're only going to be the church once a week. And he doesn't have an invading force of government officials sent into another culture to transform it for him. They just have jobs. And church is something we go to, not something that we are all the time. This is the coming storm, because God's going to rock this boat. And he's going to change the way we think, like it or not. And the old system is going to, they're going to hate what we do. Since we have made the church, instead of it being an ecclesia, since we've made the church a sheep pen, well, just follow me because I'm on a track. Since we've made it a sheep pen, a place for the sheep to get their needs met, a place to hang out and fellowship rather than what it really is biblically, we don't have much need for authority, because sheep don't need authority. They just need food and somebody to take care of them. They don't need weapons. Somebody else does that for them. They don't need power, and somebody else has the power. They just eat, give their wool, a little check, and give it to the minister. And he doesn't need to give true authority to that group of people. We say we have it, but we don't. And what we accomplish proves that we don't have it. And the world we're supposed to be changing and taking his culture into, they know we don't have it. So we've been so marginalized now, they know we're irrelevant. And they just want us to stay in our own little room, our own little church, an hour or two during the week, and then go out and do the real stuff, like work a job and make money. Sheep don't need authority. Government leaders and officers in an army need authority, right? What would I do if I was Satan? I wouldn't want to be Satan, but it's a painful thing to say, isn't it? If I was Satan, I would define the ecclesia as the family of God, which we are. We are. And that's how I would define it. Because a group of people gathering as a family, that is really not much of a threat to his kingdom. Or I would define the ecclesia as the body of Christ, which we are that, but that's not what the ecclesia is. Or I would define it as the place where the ecclesia meets, which most of you still do, even though you say you don't, because you're going to get up and say you're going to church Sunday. And you will not function as the church Monday. And you know I'm right, because I've led one of these for a long time. And I can't get the sheep to think like government officials Monday through Friday. They just go make money and come and support me, the church, in my ministry and calling. And they don't know they have one. So if I was Satan, this is what I would do. Just don't let them know they are an ecclesia of the kingdom of heaven. Because if I can succeed in this, he, the king of their kingdom, will not have a force through whom he can extend his kingdom culture into mine. That's what I'd be thinking if I was Satan. Let them get together, let them sing, let them worship, let them do them things. Just don't let them know they're an ecclesia, representing a kingdom that is more powerful than mine. And I don't stand a chance if they really begin to understand that they are a true ecclesia sent with the keys to his kingdom, authorized to release the power and authority of his kingdom to make it look like the one in heaven. If I can keep them from knowing that, they don't have a chance. In fact, they'll just do what we've done. They'll be anemic, powerless. They will have no choice. But instead of conforming the culture to them, they'll just be conformed to the culture because there's no power, there's no authority. They're just swallowed up in the mess. Now, back to you, because I'm not critical of you. I mean, I helped create this mess. I'm a leader. But I got a double-billed cap. It says, I'm the leader. Which way did they go? Some of my endearing fans gave it to me. So we've all been a part of the problem. But if you're doing work, if you are doing work, which you do, just to make money, as opposed to it being a calling and ministry that's a part of the called out ones to minister for him, if you're doing it just to make money rather than understanding it's a calling as a member of the ecclesia, if you're going out and working and then attending church, this doesn't work. But if you're going out to work just to make money instead of being a part of his ecclesia while you're there on that mountain he has assigned, called you to minister on, then he's not obligated to support you with his kingdom authority and power because you don't understand you're representing him. Why should he do that? But if you understand that, now he's going to be willing to give you wisdom and revelation, creativity, and even get you to the top of your mountain because you're willing and planning to extend his kingdom culture there. I use the term obligated loosely. I mean, he's not necessarily obligated, but that's his plan. Why would he not do that? If the only time you represent him is when you are at church or witnessing, then don't expect him to anoint and empower you for anything else because he won't. Where do we go with this now? Here's what we have done. So I'm going to just run through several things which are what occur and have occurred because we misdefine the church, the ecclesia, and its relationship to the kingdom of God. The following things have happened and will continue to happen until we break this cycle. Number one, it has produced a narcissistic church. I'm going to use the term church generically like we do because I hate to do it, but it has produced a narcissistic body of believers that calls itself the church, but doesn't really function as that, okay? Why do I say it? Because the Lord spoke this to me recently. He said, my church has become narcissistic. I wasn't even sure. I knew it meant self-love, but I really understand the principle fully, so I went and studied it a little bit, found out that narcissism comes from Greek mythology. I forget his name. Maybe I knew it, maybe I didn't. But, well, he changed his name to Narcissus. Narcissus. Maybe that was his name in Greek mythology. Maybe I've got my facts turned around a little bit. But he was so beautiful, he was so handsome and lovely. This is Greek mythology. He stared at his reflection and was so captivated by it that he stared at it until he finally died. And Greek mythology says that the gods turned him into a Narcissus, which is in the daffodil family. Is that a picture of us or what? So dysfunctional and so ingrown now, so mesmerized with our own plans and dreams and selves, even in the body of Christ, that we've stared at ourselves until we died. And my wife told me, she said, you know, certain flowers in that family, one of the interesting things about them is they have no fragrance. Hello, Church of America, we're looking good. But we have no fragrance of the King. And though we have a name that we are alive, we are dead. No wonder we've been so susceptible to secular humanism, which says man is God. Because we want to be our own God. We are enamored with ourselves. If a representative, an instrument, a voice of rule or government becomes something that exists for the preservation and pleasing of itself, just like the politicians in D.C., it becomes counterproductive, a part of the problem. Eventually, a cancer, a tapeworm. I'd almost just say we don't have a disease. We are the disease at that point. Eating ourselves from within. Satan is just allowing us to destroy ourselves with our wrong paradigms. We are part of the problem. And I'm just going to just finish this one by saying this because I got 13 of these. I'll never get them all done. But this shift from humanistic, narcissistic thinking in the church, in the body of Christ, is going to be much more difficult than we can imagine. It's going to take the shaking, the storm that's coming. Nothing else will do it. Because a whole generation of Christians in America has now been conformed to this. It's all about us and what's in it for me. What should it be in a kingdom mindset as a part of the ecclesia of God? It should be laying down our lives, taking up our cross daily, and seeking first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness. Secondly, since this mindset pervades leaders as well as all of the sheep, we've exalted the parts above the whole and created a mine versus ours. And I versus we. We don't have an ecclesia representing him, and so when we come into a region or a city, we need to get the ecclesia together and decide, how can we extend the kingdom rule of God into this region? We don't have that mindset. We got a whole bunch of little churches, which is not biblical, because in Scripture, and I don't know how we ever get to this, but he never broke the ecclesia down past the city level. Because he doesn't want me thinking mine over here and yours, because that allows me to just build mine. It allows me to have my own vision and do my own thing. And in fact, if I'm good enough, I'll get yours. And we'll just trade sheep and call ourselves a church, knowing nothing what the ecclesia or the kingdom of God really is. But we've got a good church, a growing church. I don't know what heaven does with this stuff. I don't know how, maybe the whole country's going to fall off into the ocean. I don't know how he tolerates us sometimes. Obviously, it's okay to break the ecclesia down into functional units. That's fine. The U.S. Army is broken down into lots of divisions, units, but there's one U.S. Army. And they're not allowed to just all do their thing as though they're unrelated and with different missions. See, for the most part, we do not consciously think of ourselves as a part of the church or ecclesia of our city or region. We think of ours, which allows us to define goals, success, etc., which leads to number three. This has produced an independent, competitive mindset in the ecclesia or the church. Rather than asking how can we work together to impact our region, we work independently to grow ours. My unbiblical thing I call the church, rather than the ecclesia of God in that region, I am now allowed to focus only on mine. Number four, this has caused us then, the next logical step is we misdefine success. We define it by the growth of my ministry or my congregation or the one I'm a part of, whether you're leading or a part of it, versus the extension of the kingdom of God into that region. We don't think this way. We don't define success in the Church of America, and I would say Canada, and I don't know about all nations. We don't define the success of the ecclesia based on how much of the kingdom culture have we brought into that and transformed it to look like heaven. We define it by how big we are and how fast we got there. How could he possibly give that thinking a new level of authority? Because we'll just propagate the problem. And most of the better ones that I know of in America, and I know a lot of them, because I travel all the time and I've been to all the states, most of them, many times. Most of the better ones still are in this trap. So when somebody comes up to me and says, how's your church doing? They don't mean, is the ecclesia in my city invading the culture and changing it? They mean, is my group growing? So I want to look at them and just say, really good. I've gotten about 50 sheep in the last few months to transfer from that pen to mine. Well, I really want to do them, and if I was as gifted as Dennis with karate, I'd just punch them. Because I'll tell you right now, the ecclesia in my city is sick. I don't know about yours. I do know about yours. But the ecclesia in my city is sick, in need of help, change, restoration. So we've misdefined success. Rather than a kingdom mindset, which says he who would be great in my kingdom should be what? A servant of all. Number five, what is this? Led to now, just step by step by step, this is where we've come to. It's produced a consumer-oriented and customer-based approach toward church, quote-unquote, growth. We treat them that way, and we shape them that way, and then they treat us that way. And instead of giving and producing and stewarding and supplying, our church, not the true ecclesia, our church and churches in America have a take and consume mindset. We have produced a welfare mentality in the church versus an ownership mentality. Now, I don't know if you got that, but that's important. Because of the way we've done this thing, you know, it's just, you know, who's got the best ad campaign? And they're going to come and we're going to milk them for all we can get out of them to help me grow mine so I can feel successful. And I don't care about the other guys because it's not the ecclesia, it's my church. So I'm going to do it based on the principles of sales and consumerism and customer satisfaction. And then I'm going to wonder why the sheep have a welfare mentality instead of an ownership in the kingdom. We are a welfare culture in the church. Take, 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 somebody give me, somebody take care of me, help me, take me, help me, help me. We are not owners of the field. See, what I want you to do as kingdom thinking ecclesia members of the true church, I want you to think as an owner in the kingdom and you go represent the church all week on your mountain and change the culture there. If you do it well enough and apply yourself well enough, he'll let you go to the top and then you can change more and more and more and more of that mountain. It takes slick ad campaigns to draw consumers. That's what happens in the church. The church, which isn't really the church, when they attend what isn't really that. What has that led to? Number six, it's led to entitlement, my rights, versus a submission to authority and a sacrifice for the cause mentality. So you tell the average American believer there's a price to pay and what are you willing to sacrifice and let's get committed to this, what are they going to do? They're going to go to the place down the street that does it differently because that's the way we've trained them. because they have an entitlement. In fact, that's how we got them saved. What's in this for you? You want to go to heaven? He owes you something. Pray this prayer and he owes you heaven for eternity. Where did that come from? That's the gospel of the church, not the gospel of the kingdom. Not the gospel of the true church. You can't even talk anymore. Because we don't understand what we're really saying. Number seven, what has that done? Well, all of this has shaped and structured our gatherings. So we're not producing government members in the ecclesia who understand kingdom culture that can invade a foreign culture, a trespassing culture, with the God's culture and bring that. So we're not going to train them for that because that won't grow mine if that's what we really emphasize. So we leaders find ourselves asking, how can my church, which isn't biblical, grow? Well, of course, I know how. What pleases the sheep. Even our worship is designed not to please him, but them. I was in a huge church congregation. I'm retraining myself. I was in a huge congregation a week ago. Won't tell you where. Hope they don't hear this message. They are good. See, I did something I haven't done in 10 years. I did a friend a favor and went there and spoke. And I loved them. They're good people. I'm not cynical of their motives whatsoever. And they're doing some things I can't do. But are they the ecclesia? No, they're a sheep pen. And I watched, and the worship, if you'd been there, you would have said, this is one of the most gifted groups of people I've ever seen. So I did a little experiment. People thought I was. I turned and watched the crowd. They thought I was loving the people and interceding over them. I was just checking things out. All you do is move your lips a little bit. People think you're praying. The sheep pens don't have any discernment anyway. The sheep don't need to discern. Somebody does it for them. So I watched it. Were they engaged? No, they weren't engaged. They were enjoying the gifts. I'm going to say it. They wouldn't say it because it's not what they wanted. The show. And all that's for anyway is just to get them ready for the message, which is not to transform them into ecclesia people who can govern and rule and invade a culture with another kingdom culture. The message is all about how to be a happy sheep, how to have a happy family. Mama sheep, dad sheep, now we have little sheep, and we're all happy sheep. And you got to understand, Satan has no problem with any of this. He's not threatened by any of it. Sheep don't bother him. In fact, if this is what a church culture to nation wants to do, he'll help them. He wants you to keep defining success that way rather than being the church Monday through Friday and invading the kingdom culture you live in as a ministry and calling from God. And I'm just called to help you do that. He has no problem with that because sheep are just not a threat to him. Happy Christians are not a threat to him. Fed sheep are not a threat to him. Kingdom of God, ecclesia people are a real threat to him. Because they're going to invade his kingdom with a different one. And if they really do that with understanding and apply themselves, the king of that kingdom will give them a higher level of authority. And now they will do it with even more effectiveness. This is not what we have created in this nation. Behold, it stinketh. Oh, by the way, 1 hour service. Just to let me know so I have all the facts right, there will be a clock on the back wall counting me down 30 minutes. What did I do? I went 31. Just to make a statement. Because we've structured our gatherings in the thing we've called church, which isn't really the church, it's just the place where we congregate. We've structured it for the sheep, not the king. So we don't go into the meeting saying, what does he want to do? We go in saying, what did they want? What army could ever succeed operating that way? What government could? Ours is proving right now that fails. And of course, we've proven in America that as a quote-unquote church, it fails. We're making no impact on this culture at this point. We're losing ground still. What does he want to do? I get in trouble now when I'm leading a meeting because half the time I don't even speak. Because I don't care about that anymore. All I care about when I go into one of our Christian services, all I really care about anymore is what does he want to do? And I'm supposed to have enough discernment and sensitivity and be able to be led by the Spirit enough to get in that gathering and begin to discern what does he want to do? If we would start thinking not what do the sheep want, but what does the king want, things might change. How does he want to govern today? I know one apostle, yes, I believe in him, who starts every service he leads this way. He takes a gavel, bangs it on the podium, and says, the ecclesia is now in session. And then they begin to worship and go this way until they discern and know what does he want to do today. They do it. What a concept. I got so good at being the church and doing church, it didn't matter to me if he showed up or not. I could do it just as well without him. I know that's offensive to hear, but I'm telling you. And that's not been in my heart for 30 years. But the fact of the matter is, I got good enough at doing this thing that I could impress the people and get the job done with no anointing, no blessing from heaven. God didn't even have to be in the room, and nobody knew it. Because I'm a gifted shepherd. And the sheep can't discern the difference anyway. Number 8, all of this has altered our message. Because if I have to please the sheep and it's all about them and it's about growth and these definitions of success, I'm going to have to change the message so a false gospel is being preached, no commitment needed, short, shallow, innovative, whatever it takes to please and draw sheep. We produced hearers, not doers, converts, not disciples. We do not have sound doctrine anymore. Over half of people in America that call themselves born again do not even believe in literal Holy Spirit and that the scriptures are all divinely inspired and infallible. So we should have sound doctrine and the gospel of the kingdom and training in righteousness and truth and war and a biblical worldview. And for the most part, in the churches of America, we have none of the above. Number 9, not only has this altered our message, it's redefined our mission. And our mission is no longer to be an ecclesia invading another culture to bring the culture of heaven into this one. And I'm a part of that, so I don't just work a job or I go be the church on Monday. I don't go to church on Sunday anymore. I congregate there to worship and then I go be the ecclesia on Mondays. But instead of that happening, our mission is now to meet needs of the sheep, to tend them, to teach them. Number 10, this has exalted the pastor gift position above all others and even exalted the needs of the sheep above that of the shepherd. We don't go into our ecclesia gatherings wondering what the shepherd wants or the king wants. We go in exalting the needs of the sheep. That's what matters the most. In fact, we think now the Church of America thinks that he exists for them, not the other way around. When in fact, he'll let them die for his cause. He will, won't he? He'll allow martyrs. To him, it's a glory to lay your life down for this cause. I did. That's what he says. Finally, let me just stop on this one so we can all get happy again. This has produced flocks, not an army, fellowships, not a government, a place to be fed and cared for, a place to fellowship and relate. But sheep, flocks of sheep, do not fight. They do not have weapons. Governments do, and armies do, kingdoms do. And I'm going to say this and please hear me on this. A sheep mentality and a sheep pen mentality will not survive the coming storm. If we stay in that system, we will die with that system, or we will shift this thing to a true ecclesia, kingdom-minded endeavor and group of people that it's supposed to be, and we will then be positioned in a kingdom that cannot be shaken, ready to take advantage of the difficult times and be the light and the city set on a hill that he wants us to be. Sheep do not need or have authority. Soldiers and legislators do. Congregations don't have authority. Fellowships don't have authority. Ecclesias do. You don't need authority to fellowship. I'll do one more, number 12, since 12 is such a biblical number and 11 isn't. This has shifted us, and this is the bottom line. This is where it's all ended up. This has shifted us, supposed to be the ecclesia of God. Now we call it the church and function as something else. It has shifted us from dominion to survival, from occupation to existence, from confrontation to conformity. Can I say that again? Yes. From dominion to survival, occupation to existence, and from confrontation to conformity. We do not confront and change our culture, we conform to our culture. We are no longer a counterculture, we are a subculture. Do you know the difference? If we just really understood it, ecclesia, when Jesus came and said, now I'm going to build my ecclesia. And in Matthew 28, go ecclesia and disciple the nations. It really is the restoration of the Genesis 1 dominion mandate. Ecclesia, church, is supposed to be, the church is supposed to be the restoration of the dominion mandate. Rule this earth for me. Rule this mountain for me. Ecclesia, get together in your city and figure out, hear from me, really, based on the principles of my word and leading of my Holy Spirit, learn how to invade the business culture of your city with my kingdom business culture. Learn how to do it in education and go be the ecclesia Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then come together and worship as the ecclesia on Sunday. And then go be the ecclesia again. Thinking of all of this the way we have, how could we be anything other than survivalists? There's no other option with the way we've built this. So the ecclesia concept is the restoration of the dominion mandate, and rule is what kings and kingdoms do. So if we're part of a heavenly kingdom and we're supposed to release it, what are we supposed to do but rule and reign in life? And reign, basileo, is the same basically Greek word as king and kingdom. Take the authority of the king and his kingdom and you reign in life, and it's all the same word. If we do not function as the ecclesia, the kingdom of God has no governing force or influence on the earth. The kingdom cannot come to earth, as we're told to pray, if we do not do this. Matthew 16 cannot happen, and the gates of hell will prevail against us, and we need to get honest with ourselves at some point and say they have in this nation and many nations, what is wrong? It's broken, let's fix it. Our definition of the church has produced passive sheep, not an active government. Now, let me just back up. Say, you are called of God with a holy calling, called out and into, and have been given a destiny, which is a ministry to a certain segment of the society you live in as a part of the ecclesia of God, releasing his kingdom authority there. I rest my case. That's it. That's it. I can't sum it up any shorter or more concisely than that right there. And if we're not doing that, which we haven't been, we're not functioning as the ecclesia, and we do you this horrible disservice of stealing from you your calling and your ministry. We got to stop this. Lord, help us. Do for us what we can't do for ourselves. Do create the scenarios, the circumstances that will awaken us to our desperate need. Just as you did with Israel, do what is necessary to get our attention, to show us our lack of power, our religiosity, our wrong definitions and understandings and paradigms, and transform us, however long it takes, transform us into the ecclesia of the kingdom. Amen.
This is a copyrighted program of Strategic Christian Services, Santa Rosa, California. Unauthorized reproduction is prohibited. Strategic Christian Services offers a wide variety of other educational materials and training schools designed to help you live life to its fullest. For more information on our products and services, please call us at 1-800-700-0605. Join us online at www.gostrategic.org or write to us at Post Office Box 2709, Santa Rosa, California, 95405.